This podcast is brought to you by All Family Pharmacy. This is your family pharmacy where you can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and even your daily meds, all online. Go to allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10 to save 10% right now. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10.
Howie Carr, a Boston Herald columnist and radio hitman.
Howie Carr is a columnist for the Boston Herald as well as a radio talk show host who has been a thorn in the side of Whitey Bulger and his gang for 20 years.
I was referred to today as 1970s Boston.
Howie is sort of an insidious force in this area.
Nothing gets you going in the morning like a good cup of Joe and a little Howie Carr, right?
Hey, paper boy.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
Live from sunny Florida,
Mar-a-Lago,
it's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. It is Veterans Day. Howie is off today. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for the captain. He'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. Greetings to you on the Rumble Cam. We figured out how to make it work here in Maine where the snow is spitting. Is it? Are there flurries down there, Jared?
I haven't seen any here, but Taylor did say there was some down in the bayou a little earlier.
Well, we've definitely got them happening here. It is Veterans Day. It's feeling like winter in Maine. And thank you to everyone who has served. If you are a veteran within the sound of our voice, thank you for what you've done. If you're active military, we appreciate you putting it all on the line. I mean, when you sign up, when you enlist, they say that you're writing a blank check that you could pay with your life. And it's something that we all appreciate. And to any of our families of the military, families of veterans, Gold Star families, I mean, our nation owes you a debt of gratitude. It's a day of celebration. I didn't participate in the parade this morning, but I did see it go by and I cheered, honked my horn, and then I moved on with my day. But I think it's important for all of us to take a beat and to really recognize veterans. And what better way to celebrate our veterans than, I don't know, funding the government, having a functional United States of American government. Can you imagine all these people who fought in all of these wars, if they were to look at like what it takes to shut down the government these days, Jared? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Do you think when you go into like the Battle of the Bulge with the American flag, you'd think that someday you'd have to listen to like Sonny Hostin give a U.S. senator a lecture about how you should have like held out for more leverage? It belies belief. But I think this Veterans Day, I think that's one of the things that we can really do to honor our veterans is, first of all, to thank them, to celebrate them, and then think about how we're going to take advantage of like the great freedom and opportunity that we have here in this great country. And there's a lot of audio to get to, a lot of stuff to get to. But if you have a veteran that you want to thank, someone you want to honor, someone you want to acknowledge, feel free to call into the show, 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls if you have any veterans that you want to honor, if there's something veteran-related that you want to share. It is Veterans Day, after all, so feel free to join the program. We would love to have you do that, love to talk about it. One person who is not doing much celebrating today, I'm quite sure, is Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is, I think, the biggest loser of the shutdown. That should have been our question today. But just listen to how he is talking about the shutdown coming to an end. Cut number one.
Of Donald Trump's cruelty. He shut the government down longer than any president in American history. Took innocent kids, veterans, federal workers as hostages, political hostages, all because he refuses to do anything, anything, to fix the health care crisis, and instead keeps pushing policies that will cut people's coverage even more. Look no further than Donald Trump's war on SNAP. Last night, the First Circuit reaffirmed what lower courts have already said. Donald Trump cannot take 42 million hungry people as hostages. He cannot withhold the benefits they need for food for their families. Even now, Donald Trump isn't satisfied. Today, even more cruel, He appealed to the Supreme Court yet again to try and get out of paying full SNAP benefits. The president's done a lot of cruel, nasty, mean things over the years. But going all the way up to the Supreme Court, not once but twice, to ensure kids go hungry is about as cruel a thing as he's ever done. Donald Trump would rather make hungry Americans suffer, make kids suffer, make veterans go hungry and disabled individuals suffer, than do anything to lower health care costs for the American people. The American people will not forget Donald Trump's cruelty and heartlessness over the last 6 weeks. And let me say something else. The American people have now awoken to Trump's health care crisis.
No, they haven't. So here you go. This is Chuck Schumer now deflecting. And this tells you what they were after this whole time. It wasn't about fixing health care. It was about changing the subject. It was about changing the subject. And what did they want to do? They wanted to paint Donald Trump the way that you just heard Chuck Schumer describe. They wanted to paint Donald Trump as cruel, as heartless, as starving children. They thought that they were going to have all these scenes of ICE agents rounding up children and women and families, and that people were going to be outraged. And guess what? The American people haven't been outraged. The overwhelming majority of the American people have wanted to see there be law and order restored to this country. And so they thought that the mass deportations were going to be this ground watershed moment that was going to have all of this angst and anger against Donald Trump. That was going to be what they did, but it didn't come because the American people are fed up with lawlessness in this country. They're sick of what Joe Biden did to this country. And so when that didn't happen, they said, we got to do something to make people not like Donald Trump. I know, we'll keep the government closed. And their first plan was to make it about Obamacare, healthcare premiums. And they wanted to do that because there are these subsidies about to expire at the end of the year. But the subsidies about to expire at the end of the year, they don't impact everyone. You know what does impact everyone, though? What impacts everyone is healthcare premiums going up because healthcare isn't any more affordable in this country. Isn't any more affordable. So they said, oh my gosh, we have an opportunity right now to pick a fight with Donald Trump over healthcare costs. We'll give him something that we know he won't give us, this extension on Obamacare premiums. And I'm sure the Senate will work out something. Something will happen to some respect. But Obamacare is still a failure. Healthcare is still expensive. And it's still not very available. But now they've said that that's what they were after. And this is what it's after. It was to blame Donald Trump. They said, all right, we just got to wait. We've got to close down the government until November 1st when those bills go out. Because when people go into their exchanges during open enrollment, they see the increases. We need to get them to connect that increase to Donald Trump. It's branding. This is branding. This is politics. There were some thoughts that it had to be after the No Kings protest. That's when they would do it. But no. Chuck Schumer, when everyone was ready to cave 2 weeks ago, sounds like this deal was on the table 2 weeks ago, Gene Shaheen and all of the Angus King and these middle of the road Democrats. They were the ones that were ready to fold 2 weeks ago, and Schumer said, no, just give me till November 1st. Well, then November 1st came, and you know what they did? They looked at Jay Jones in Virginia. This is that attorney general candidate. He's now the attorney general elect of the state of Virginia, the one that said that he hoped the Speaker of the House would get shot because he didn't like his position on gun control. He wanted his kids to be murdered and his wife to have to hold them in her arms, right? This psychopath who's now the chief law enforcement officer in Virginia. It was about getting him elected. Abigail Spanberger, she had enough of a lead in Virginia over Winsome Earl Sears. So I don't think it was just for her election, although they wanted to kind of pad the numbers, but they wanted to make sure that they decimated everything in Virginia. You know who lives in Virginia? A lot of federal workers. And they realized that people were blaming Republicans for the shutdown, that their Jedi mind tricks, that their lies, 774 says, how can Schumer lie so blatantly? Where are the Republicans fighting back? The Republicans were getting up and giving speeches too. We just played what Schumer had to say because I want you to hear it for yourselves. But they had looked at the polling and then the Republicans were getting blame. And they said, oh my gosh, if we keep the federal workers out of work, not getting their paychecks, not having the government open, they're going to turn out and vote and they're going to vote against Trump. So they kept it closed longer so they could get past Election Day so that they could make sure that the Virginia elections went the way. Do I think it impacted the New York elections? Not really. Do I think it impacted what happened in New Jersey? Maybe a little bit, but it definitely, they were definitely doing it in Virginia so they get the governorship and so that they could get turnout to help support this psychopath attorney general candidate who had these ridiculous, awful, hideous texts about wanting his colleague murdered. Disqualifying. But they also know from their polling that Democrats, the Democrats who blame Republicans for everything, they don't mind. They don't mind political violence. It's become normal. And so they wanted to galvanize them, turn them out. And that's what they did. And that's why they kept it. And so right after the election, all the Democrats on the left, by the way, are perplexed because they're saying, oh, well, we had all the momentum. We had all the leverage. Why would we possibly fold now? The Sonny Hostins, the Rachel Maddows, the Jon Stewarts, the late night comics. They're all like, why would you fold now? People were finally starting to blame Republicans. These people don't care that people weren't getting their food stamps. They don't care that the FAA is on the brink of shutting down, that the air traffic controllers aren't getting paid, that the right before Thanksgiving travel was about to snarl to a halt. All they cared about is winning elections and power and control and fighting Donald Trump. And they thought they were winning. They thought they were sticking it to Donald Trump. And that's all they cared about. When you see Tim Kaine, the senator from Virginia, tell you, oh, I was paying attention to the election first, and now I'm paying attention to this, you realize that it was all about the election. It was all about the election. It was all about voter turnout, and it was particularly about voter turnout in Virginia. Now the elections are over. We can just go back to business as usual. The problem is now you have a lot of these Democrats who believe their own BS. They thought they were fighting for a reason. They thought this was about health care, and now they have nothing to show for it. And they were never going to have anything to show for it. This was a stupid, fake, false negotiation from the beginning, all about elections. 844-500-4242, or you're welcome to text Howie to 617-213-1066. Let's take a quick call. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Joe. Joe, you're on the Howie Carr Show with Aaron Chadbourne.
Hello, Aaron. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, I just want you to know, which I'm sure you already do, that it is perfectly legal and to lie on the Senate and House of Representatives floor,
yeah,
with no chance of slander nor libel ever touching your lying lips. And that's why Schumer can say all that stuff, because in reality, about every other word was a lie. I also want to say that my father, my uncles, my grandfather, I had an uncle. He's not my first uncle. He's a second uncle. And he fought both on Normandy and Iwo Jima. So talk about going crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Brave people back then. Brave, brave people.
Well, we thank your family for their service. I'm sure you're proud of them. And thanks for the call, Joe. Yeah, on this Veterans Day, we certainly honored their service. And we appreciate all that they did. And I think a lot of people that fought, they look at this and they look at these like petulant children that are in the U.S. Senate right now, or they look at the people at the late night television shows, the Jimmy Kimmels and Jimmy Fallons, and they say, what was it all for? And I think we can be better than this. And hopefully we're going to see our country become proud again and stronger again. I think there is. I think we're turning the page and we're becoming serious again. But I think that's the best way that we honor their service, is by making the most of it. If you're a homeowner, you need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles and your equity is the target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee with your county, and just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name. Then they take out loans using your equity. They even sell your property. And you won't even know what's happened until you get a collection or a foreclosure notice. So when's the last time that you checked on your home title? If your answer is never, you need to do something about it right now. That's why Howie has partnered with Home Title Lock, so you can find out today if you're already a victim. Use our promo code Howie at HomeTitleLock.com and you'll get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud does happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. I mean, when you think about your home purchase and owning your real estate, there's really no bigger purchase. There's no bigger asset that you need to keep safe. So don't be a victim and protect your equity today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and use promo code Howie. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Howie. It is Veterans Day here on the Howie Carr Show. Howie Carr is off. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
The texters want to know where Howie is. I don't know where he is. They just asked me to show up. They say Howie's off today. I'm sure he's honoring veterans. Maybe he's in a parade. Maybe he's having dinner at Mar-a-Lago. I don't know. All I know is it's Veterans Day. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, and this is the Howie Carr Show. Thanks for being with us. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Howie had his last appointment of the year at Perfect Smiles before he headed down to Florida, and it's a good thing he did, as he had two more cavities that needed to be filled. He only goes to the Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. It's so worth the trip. Visit them today at PerfectSmiles.com or call them at 603-595-6699. Jared, what is today's poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is should there be more restrictions on students from China attending universities in the U.S.?
Okay, let's set this one up because I don't know if everyone paid attention to this. Last night, President Trump was on with Laura Ingraham, and this is one of the issues that she really pushed him on, which is that there are so many of the spots in the U.S. universities that are taken up by students coming in from China. Cut 26.
Folks are not thrilled about this idea of hundreds of thousands of foreign students in the United States. We have about 350,000 Chinese. One point during COVID, you were going to, you know, push to, you know, get them out, but that was pulled back. You've said as many as 600,000 Chinese students could come to the United States. Why, sir, is that a pro-MAGA position when many American kids want to go to school and there are places not for them and these universities are getting rich off Chinese money?
Sure. Never said about China, but we do have a lot of people coming in from China. We always have China and other countries. We also have a massive system of colleges and universities. And if we were to cut that in half, which perhaps makes some people happy, you would have half the colleges in the United States go out of business.
So what?
Well, I think that's a big deal.
Are they fans, you would have the fans of the United States?
Yeah, but you would have, as you know, historically black colleges and universities would all be out of business. You would have a system of colleges and universities.
Yeah, so I think if you look at it, right, if there are all of these seats that are getting taken up for students from other countries, I do get that you can charge them more or they might not be eligible for certain financial aid. They have to pay cash, whatever. I understand it from a money-making perspective. But why are we, as the United States, why are we subsidizing our universities to educate the workforce of the world? I mean, it's really hard as a U.S. citizen to go and attend school elsewhere. I think just like we treat them like they treat us. So if they make it easy for us to be there in their universities, then maybe make it easy. But I think that, back to the question, should there be more restrictions on students from China attending university in the U.S.? I say America first, man. So I'm going to say yes.
98% of the audience agrees with you. They say yes.
I don't know. Trump recently has become a little bit soft on some of his talk about China. Did you know he got asked a question by Laura Ingraham last night about the ballroom and why we needed a ballroom? And one of his reasons was, he said, you know, if President Xi comes to dinner, I want to have a good, like, and Laura Ingraham said, well, what about like normal Americans? What if they want to like come view the White House? Like, should you talk about them? I think there's a little bit of a bubble thing happening. I think that Trump was a lot better and more in touch with people when he was out on the stump, when he was out at his rallies, when he was out in touch with people. I'm starting to think, I don't know. I think if you listen to Trump, we'll play some of the sound cuts. I think he's talking a lot more and more about how people need to like realize the economy is better than they think. It sounds a lot more like Joe Biden, and it sounds like maybe he's a little bit insulated and needs to get out more, because I think he's talking a little bit more about China and Xi and how we have great partnership and working together. I miss like the Trump of the campaign trail that was talking about China was ripping us off. And yeah, I know we've had the tariffs on him And I know that we have some sort of deal, but so far it seems that China's getting a whole lot of what they want. And I don't see where it's coming in for the U.S. So I think we need to see the results. We need to see the receipts. And I don't really like saying nice things about President Xi. I don't like saying nice things about all the Chinese coming in and studying in the United States and then going back to China, taking all of our education, our intellectual property, and setting themselves up. I think if you look historically, the United States and the companies from the U.S. that went there set up shop in China so they could get ripped off, let China compete with us, kind of take our place of dominance in the world. I don't know. I think we're in for trouble. More Howie Carr Show when we come back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
It's Howie Carr.
We're back on the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. I'm getting messages that are saying, Aaron, please don't compare President Trump to Biden. Come on. Like, that's terrible. And I mean, I don't want to, but listen to, I mean, if you remember before the election, Joe Biden would get asked about the economy. We'd be asked, you know, why is it you think that people are upset? We poll people, we ask them how it's going, they say it's going bad. And Biden would say, oh, we're just not messaging it enough. We need to be talking about it better. People don't realize that it's better than they think. And Trump's starting to say kind of the same thing. Let's listen to Donald Trump, cut number 12.
But it is, and why are people saying they're anxious about the economy? Why are they saying that?
I don't know that they are saying. I think polls are fake. We have the greatest economy we've ever had. We have... we will have over $20 trillion come into our economy, and it's largely because of my election, but it's also largely because of tariffs.
So here's the thing. Polls can be fake, so I don't disagree with him there. And I don't disagree with all the investment that's coming in, but people don't feel it yet. The investment that's been announced and promised, that's not shovels in the ground yet. That's not jobs. That's not increase in wages. And we're starting to see that it's going to take effect, and people have to feel it. But when I talk to people about the economy, they are anxious. It's not the polls being fake about it. There are a lot of people. I look at the housing market where I sell real estate up here in Maine. If I look at decisions and purchases people are making, if you look at travel spend, if you look at a lot of things, there are a lot of signals that right now people are anxious about the economy. There are a lot of people hopeful about the economy. A lot of the people bought the dip. A lot of people have seen their investments go up, their stock holdings go up. But when we look at jobs, I think there's a lot of uncertainty about AI and how automation and just artificial intelligence in general are going to replace jobs. I think if you look at the cost of things, I mean, the inflation is way, way down from what it was under Biden, but there's still inflation. Things haven't gotten cheaper. The things that got more expensive, other than like eggs and the cost of energy, I'll say the cost of gas under Trump, I appreciate that. There are things, but there is still real concern about the economy. And all that means is we have to do more to get the economy moving. And I think the administration is doing the right things, but it hasn't kicked in yet. People aren't feeling it. And they feel it in their pockets. They don't feel it because KJP goes and stands at the podium at the White House. And so nothing that you do, that you say to the media or the messaging that you put out, that's not going to be what makes people feel better. They've got to start feeling it in their pockets. And I think that they're getting the investments, they're getting the priorities, but until people feel it, it's not going to be real. And I mean, I'm not the only one that's comparing Trump to Biden. There are a lot of other people doing it. Here's a terrible person. I hate to even cite him. He's on TikTok. He's way more, you know, active now than he ever was when he hosted Meet the Press. Here is Chuck Todd, or as Rush would have called him, F. Chuck Todd. Here's how he thinks that Donald Trump and what he's doing relates a little bit to how Biden behaved. Cut number 19.
What's going on with the president? All last week was saying that somehow the affordability issues that Democrats successfully ran on, that somehow it was a con job, that some of this wasn't true. And he comes out there and claims, essentially claiming the economy is better than it is. It is as if there's Biden advisors suddenly advising Donald Trump when all the Biden economic advisors would say, hey, pay no attention to cost of living issues. This economy is great. And there's so many people with jobs. The unemployment rate is low. And they came across extraordinarily out of touch. Donald Trump now looks extraordinarily out of touch. To think that he was more focused on Sunday going to a Commanders game in order to lobby the Washington Commanders to name the new stadium after him. This is just really stupid.
Okay, so Chuck Todd is dumb. This stuff about like the Commanders stadium and all of that, and like blaming Trump and saying what's wrong with him. Like, I don't give it any of that. But I do think there is, you have to remember how delusional Biden was. That Joe Biden thought that the economy and the economics that he had, that he was in charge of, were going so well that he called it Bidenomics. People were worse off, but he was in a bunker. He had bunker syndrome, and he thought, oh, people are going to love this. I'm going to call it Bidenomics, and it's going to be what I campaign on. And that was a gift. That was a gift to Trump because people felt that the economy was bad. They were worried. They were anxious. And Biden said, no, they're not. The economy is great. It's wonderful. He touted all this stuff he was doing on the climate. He thought that people liked this stuff. He thought the EV mandates, he was out of touch. He was out of touch. And that's what I worry about. I'm sounding the alarm. I'm sounding the siren because we need to make sure that Donald Trump is not out of touch. When Donald Trump is during a shutdown talking about his ballroom, I mean, yeah, I think the White House should have a great ballroom and I don't really care about it. Is it a good look to have him focused on it and talking about how beautiful it's going to be and putting up more gold adorned features and decorations during the shutdown while he's, you know, in the process of, you know, not being able to send money out for people on food stamps, which, by the way, 40 million people seems like a lot of people on food stamps. When did it get so high? And the answer is during COVID, it went up. And notice all these temporary things where we have temporary expansion, they never seem to go back down. Now you create new dependency. And that's what you're going to have. You're going to have people that want to stay on these food stamps. And they're going to, but like, again, when the money's not going out because the government is shut down because the Democrats didn't fund it, is the best look to be hanging up new like pieces of gold on the mantles at the White House? Maybe not the best look. So I think we should just get Trump back out there. Trump's spending a lot of time in the White House, a lot of time meeting with foreign, you know, dignitaries and all of that. Let's get him back out there. Let's get him back out on the campaign trail and on the stump because I want him to hear from and be around normal American people. Now, I think a lot of these arguments that people like Chuck Todd make, I think they're just to make Trump look bad. I think it's straight, like there's this whole thing about Argentina and buying the beef and bailing out the president there. And I don't prioritize the economy in Argentina. I prioritize the economy here in the US and I prioritize our farmers here. But here's what they're saying. They're saying, oh, like where did the money come from? You don't have the money for food stamps, but you have $20 billion to give to Argentina. Well, those were credit swaps. It's a whole different thing. It's a financial instrument and they're able to do it. Here is, and I got to give credit to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent for going on MSNBC. They call him out and they say, oh, how'd you find all the money to give to Argentina? And they don't know what they're talking about. Listen to this. Cut number 24.
Amid this discussion of costs and prices and affordability, how does a $20 billion bailout of Argentina help Americans? You're the president's point person on that. Can you explain to those here who are feeling the pinch, including America's farmers, why the United States is helping out Argentina?
Well, do you know what a swap line is?
It's a currency swap, yes.
Yes, but what is that?
You're the Treasury Secretary.
Yes, but why would you call it a bailout?
That is how
in most bailouts you don't make money. The U.S. government made money. We used our financial balance sheet to stabilize the government. One of our great allies in Latin America during an election, the president there won in a landslide. The government's going to make money, and I would rather use peace through economic strength than have to be shooting at narco boats coming offshore if the government collapsed. We have a generational opportunity in Latin America to create allies. We just saw an election in Bolivia. We're probably going to see an election in Colombia. We've seen them in Ecuador. We're going to see them in Chile. So by stabilizing the economy there and making a profit, then that's a very good deal for the American people. And you know, there's a lot we could have been doing for American farmers, but Democrats closed the government.
So, I mean, I think the point that he makes, which I think is a really good one, is that the host doesn't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about when they say, why did you give all this money? He said, well, do you know what this was and how it worked? And they're like, oh, actually, well, no, but I'm not the Treasury Secretary. He's like, well, you're making all these accusations about all this money we gave away, and it's actually an investment, and we're going to make a profit. And hopefully we do make a profit. Scott Bessent said something along the lines of, you know, in a bailout, you usually don't make money, so I wouldn't call this a bailout. That's a little bit harder because I think in some of the bailouts that we did do, if you look at the TARP program or AIG bailout or General Motors, I think there were some where the money was returned with a return. I think there was profit that was made off of some of those investments. I think there were others that were a bailout that were more of a giveaway. And again, who did it benefit? It ended up benefiting a lot of the people that got us in that trouble. So I never loved the big Wall Street bailouts, other than the fact that it stabilized the economy. But bailouts do tend to make a little bit of money. That should be the way that you do it. You should do it in a way that's going to be financially in the U.S.'s best interest. But I think Scott Bessent knows what he's talking about. And Scott Bessent is not someone to like come at and to start to say, oh, you gave all this money away. Where did that come from? Well, if they were credit swaps, it was a financial instrument. It's very different than just saying, well, we're giving subsidy out to farmers in Argentina as if they were farmers in the United States. So I think good for Scott Bessent. He's been doing a good job going into the lion's den, places like MSNBC, and confronting them when they lie or they have no idea what they're talking about. And he says, hey, do you know what you're talking about? They're like, well, we're not the Treasury Secretary. Well, then why are you bringing your own facts? 844-500-4242, the number on the Howie Carr Show. Let's go to the phone lines and take a call from Steve. Steve, you're on Howie Carr with Aaron Chadbourne.
Yeah, my name is Steve. I'm down in Tennessee. I want to acknowledge all the veterans in this country who made the sacrifice, both living and dead. And I also want to acknowledge my son, retired Marine who saw combat in Afghanistan and Iraq twice. And I have a question. The bonus that President Trump is advocating for the air traffic controllers who showed up for work, it's $10,000. Will that be tax-free?
That's a good question, and thanks for the call, Steve, and thanks for recognizing our veterans. It's certainly an important day to do that on this Veterans Day. Thank you, and I think you said you may have served, so thank you for your service if you did. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think there are a lot of details about that bonus. Trump did put out this truth saying that any of the air traffic controllers who didn't come to, they were definitely guaranteed they were going to get paid when this was over. They'd get back pay. But anyway, who did come to work, and they were working well, deserved a 10% bonus. He was asked where he was going to get the money. He said he didn't know where he was going to get the money from. So I don't know that the details have been worked out on that. I think he just announced it and they're going to work it out afterwards. But here's some audio of Trump talking about the air traffic controllers. Cut number 13.
Problems for the country I encountered on Saturday coming back from Florida to D.C. with the airports. So hours delayed, thousands of flight cancellations that are continuing this week. Yeah. You put out a Truth Social post earlier today.
I did.
Where you blasted the air traffic controllers who had not shown up for work and offered potentially a bonus of $10,000 for those who have worked despite the shutdown. Are you worried that given the fact that we have a deficit of air traffic controllers still, I know we're trying to change that, that might be a difficult
position? No, we don't
position.
Have much of a deficit, and we have a lot of people want the job. But I was not happy when I saw all these people. Oh, we have to. Look, life is not so easy for anybody. Our country's never done better. We should not have had people leaving their jobs. And what I basically did is say the ones that stayed, of which there were a lot of them, I'm sending them a $10,000 bonus.
Where's that money coming from?
I don't know. I'll get it from someplace. I always get the money from someplace regardless. It doesn't matter. I do a lot of bonuses for people because it's really something that, it's like the American way when you think about it. So here's somebody that goes and shows up every single day. Some of them showed up early because they knew there was going to be a problem. Those people should be rewarded. Others, we can't make it. We can't. You know, a lot of the people that showed up also had a second job. They took a second job temporarily. But they all know the money's coming, and the money was coming. So I want to reward the people that showed up without a lot of nonsense, without a lot of talk. They did their job. And in many cases, they worked longer hours to get us through this period.
And I mean, I was wrong. I said 10%. It was 10,000 he wants to give them. But I'm all for that. I'm all for giving a bonus to the people that showed up. Trump did say something there, though, right? This is where I sometimes worry that he's not getting his full information. Is he said, oh, no, we're not having trouble finding them and hiring them. We're absolutely having trouble finding them and hiring them. We need to hire more air traffic controllers. And so I personally probably wouldn't be disparaging them. I would say, oh, we need more. Yep, it's a shame that the Democrats didn't pay you, which they didn't. They didn't give us the money to do it. And so I think I would just stay focused on the Democrats and not on the people, because I don't know. I when I go to work, I expect to get paid. Now, there were programs, there were, you know, loans and advances that they could get, qualify for. And I do think the people that did go to work and that did do the job to keep the American people safe, I think that was really important. So I'm all for them getting a bonus. 508 says, I'm a Howie regular texter. I'd like to salute the 31.4% of DHS and custom agents that are veterans. While they deal with gross rhetoric and the two-faced politicians hyping Veterans Day and feeding soldiers and vilify ICE and DHS, that says it all. Happy Veterans Day to Dad, Bob, Golan, B-52 mechanic in Vietnam, Guam. And thanks. Well, happy Veterans Day to you, and thanks for your service. Let's take one more call on Veterans Day, 844-500-4242. Next up is Jack. Jack, you're on the Howie Carr Show. You there, Jack?
Hey, this is Jack. How are you?
Good.
I watched President Trump giving his address at Arlington Cemetery, which I thought was very good, but I kind of feel that it's disingenuous, since he was a draft dodger like five.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that him giving props to the people that served because he didn't serve, I don't think it disqualifies him from that. And certainly people knew that he didn't serve and that he got a deferment, the heel spur, whatever it was. People knew that when they elected him president the first time. They knew it when they elected him president the second time. And just because someone is a civilian and they didn't serve, I don't think it at all diminishes the fact that they can recognize and appreciate the service of others. 844-500-4242 is the number here on the Howie Carr Show. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Follow Howie on Instagram.
Yeah, hi, I'm a big influencer.
Howie Carr Radio Network.
Go ahead and check it out. Recipe in bio.
Howie Carr is back.
We're back on the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Howie, 844-500-4242. I played the cut of Trump talking about the air traffic controllers, but there is a better cut I should have had when he talked about the last guy in charge, a guy by the name of Mayor Pete. Cut 14.
Guarantee to Americans that travel is going to go back to normal once the government...
The travel is? Oh, yeah. It'll go better than normal. You know why?
When the government reopens.
Yeah, sure. It'll be much better than normal because we're buying the most sophisticated avionics and, you know, technology for our control towers. And we didn't have that. We had a guy named Buttigieg. Edge, this is the best way. Just say two edges, like off the edge of a cliff, which is where they were taking us, by the way.
We're taking us off the end of a cliff. And it is a good point to point out that we have this like whole horrible archaic system for how we do air traffic control in the U.S. and it needs upgrades. And apparently I think that was one of the things that Elon Musk and Doge had looked at it improving. But I also have to ask the question, Donald Trump was president before and Elaine Chao, Mitch McConnell's wife, was the Secretary of Transportation under the first Trump presidency. She had been in the Bush administration. She had been, I think, labor secretary under Bush, and then she became transportation secretary under the first Trump administration. And why didn't she fix it? Where's Elaine Chao? Where's Mitch McConnell being called out on the fact that we have this aging infrastructure for our planes and for our FAA? And so Mayor Pete is very quick to offer criticism, and current Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy has been clapping back at him, saying, look, I spend my whole day cleaning up the messes that you left behind, so I don't know it. But I think Trump likes pronouncing the name Buttigieg. It's also, by the way, wasn't it Jared Pete that like said you should say it that way with the two edges?
I believe it was, actually.
I think he, like, there were two different ways when he was running for president. That's why he went by Mayor Pete, because he was worried people couldn't pronounce his last name, Buttigieg. But he, I think even on his campaign headquarters when he ran for president, it was spelled out Buttigieg. It was meant as a mnemonic, or I think that you could also say booty judge. He was, you know, being hip with the millennials and the Gen Zers trying to be there. But, I think Trump's more right when he says they were going to run us off the edge, over the edge. That's where they wanted us. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.